Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. Thank you for joining me today. I am very glad you are able to do so. And speaking of Abel, oh boy, Bill, nice segue. You know, Abel was the second child that was born into the world, but only the first one to obey God. And really all we know about him is mom and dad were Adam and Eve, and he was a shepherd, and he presented pleasing offerings to God, and his brother killed him. You know, the Bible doesn't really tell us why God liked Abel's gifts and disliked Cain's, but both Cain and Abel knew what God expected, and Abel obeyed. And then he's like the first member of the Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. So, obedience. That's what we always want to do here at Faith Radio, is take that next step of obedience, and we hope that we can build you up in your faith and be with you in the afternoons. I'm always glad to be doing this, so thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. I had a nice chat with some listeners in the last couple of days, and it's awfully nice to talk to them in person or on the phone. So thank you for reaching out to me. It's always nice to have those chats. So today's show, again, will be awesome. Annie F. Downs, is going to be with me. She's already on our Skype line. She's a best-selling author and speaker and does a crazy podcast out of Nashville. And we're going to be joined by her. And then in just after that, Rob Bluey will be giving us his weekly Washington update. We will be solving the world's problems all in 22 minutes. That's all ahead in the next hour. And you know I love Scripture. So if you have not called the studio line and just left a voicemail for me, please do it. 877-933-2484. I don't like to collect autographs ever. I like to collect people reading Scripture. And I want a million people to read Scripture on the show. And then I'll go get a tattoo. All right. I think we've got something right now.
I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. That's the supremacy of our God.
Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." During the week of Thanksgiving, the Faith Radio prayer team is focusing on gratitude. We're thankful for many blessings, and may we not forget all the benefits of the Lord in our lives today and in the days to come. We'd love to have you join us in thanking God for his blessings and praying for the needs in our communities and nation. Sign up for the Faith Radio prayer team today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Do you need prayer today? You can submit your prayer request to PrayerWorks, and people will pray for you. Just visit myfaithradio.com and click on PrayerWorks. Submit your request and take comfort knowing you are being lifted up. You can also pray for other requests while you're there. Receive prayer support through PrayerWorks at myfaithradio.com today.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Annie F. Downs is a best-selling author and speaker, and she loves doing her podcast in Nashville. She just said to me before we went on the air, there's always a microphone around her, which is great. She's written a book that we're going to hopefully get a chance to chat about today called Remember God. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Bill. I love your million people reading you Scripture. That's amazing.
But that's the goal. That's the goal.
Then
I'm going to go get a tattoo.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your background and your faith journey. That's always of great interest to both me and the listeners.
Sure. I grew up in Georgia outside of Atlanta and grew up in a Christian home. And so I kind of spent a ton of time growing up going to church and being involved in my church. In fact, I used to joke that if the doors were unlocked and the Coke machine was taking quarters, we were there. So I just, I loved it. I grew up in that time when I'm in my mid-30s. So I grew up in that time when youth group was really kind of taking off. It felt like in a lot of ways that was in our community, at least it was kind of a center of a lot of social communities. And so I just loved it and went to University of Georgia and continued in my faith walk there as a part of the Wesley Foundation. But I also kind of, when I got to college, was when I got to really ask some questions and kind of process some things that I just always believed because I had always believed them. And then I changed a little bit in college where I kind of went, okay, am I believing this because my parents told me to or because I want to?
Mm-hmm.
And that journey was really important to me. To this day, I still say my sophomore year of college when I was 20 years old is probably the most transformational year because it was also one of the darkest years where I went, oh, what if all this isn't real? And what if I don't want to spend my time like this? And I think you need to go there, especially when you're raised in a Christian home and especially when you kind of faith is so tightly intermingled with family and relationships and it's some versus people who choose it later in life. At some point, you need to make the decision for yourself as well as a grown up. And so I was grateful to do that. And I've spent the last 10 years in Nashville, Tennessee, where I really have wrestled with God's kindness the last couple of years of what do you do when your life doesn't look the way you thought it would, when you had this one set of plans and those aren't the plans you're living on?
Mm-hmm.
And is God really as kind as he says he is? And can we really remember that God is who he says he is, even when our circumstances tell us different?
So, Annie, did you have like a rebellious phase? Like maybe in 10th grade, you started chewing gum in the hallways or something?
Right. That's about,
what happened? Come on. You're like this perfect
for
kid.
No.
I want to get your mom on this call. Let's patch her in at the break because seriously, they
know,
did something right.
Well, they did. They really did. They did something right. But my rebellion was always way more secretive. And my sin was way more secretive because I thought I'm supposed to be this good Christian girl on the outside. But on the inside, I'm dealing with, not telling the truth all the time and just saying what I think people want to hear,
mm-hmm.
or lust or overeating or all these kinds of kind of like I wanted to take everything. Now that I'm an adult, I kind of understand that in my personality type is I'm an Enneagram 7, if you speak Enneagram, and my personality type is very outgoing and very there is never too much, more is always better than what you have right now. And so I always overdid that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was way easy to be more secretive about those kind of sins than to have this outward rebellious phase that I didn't want to get in trouble. I was a people pleaser and so I never wanted to be in trouble. I just wrestled internally far more than I wrestled externally.
Mm-hmm. I think we all get the idea that God is loving and God is definitely good and powerful and big. I think a lot of people do struggle, Annie, with the idea that, is he really kind? Is he going to be nice to me?
Right. Right. And I mean, I think him asking whether he's good or not is true too, because we see so much tragedy and we see so much pain and the things Christians flip back and forth between each other about, like, God, God is good. Always, you can always depend on God. He's always good. He's good. He's good. And then you go like, well, my life is terrible. But now I can't even say that out loud because then people will think that I'm not a good Christian because I'm not saying he's good. And it's a real, challenging spot for me and for a lot of my friends is remember God has come out and people have kind of told me their experience. So it seems like a lot of us who just want to be able to tell the truth that we are struggling to believe that God is who he says he is, but we believe it. We just want to understand more, kind of like Jacob wrestling. Once Jacob got his people across, he came back and wrestled with God all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that I feel that way. I feel like I'm a wrestler. Like there's a limp here, but there's also a blessing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of need to give more of our friends permission to go like, I know what the Bible says about God, but that's not what I'm experiencing of God. What do I do about that?
Yeah. Annie, do you think that there's too many people that are processing that idea of God through their own personal emotions and those can't be trusted?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's what I do and have done in the past of looking at my life through my lens and going, if this isn't working the way I understood it to work, then God is doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a conversation yesterday with a friend where we said, it's not that God will disappoint you. It's that your expectations disappoint you and you put your expectations in a place that you thought God would do a certain thing and he didn't. But the other beautiful thing, Bill, with as much as I know of you and I know how much you love scripture and love the Lord, the other beautiful thing is God is so okay with us going there. You know, like he's totally okay with going, yeah, I bet that is really hard. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Let's talk about what it's like for you to feel like I've let you down and for you to feel, I mean, my counselor even this morning said, you're allowed to say to God that you're upset about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I just sometimes need people to remind me that even at times when I filter my experience of God through my emotions, if I will recenter and experience God through scripture and acknowledge my emotions, that's the healthiest place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we couldn't talk that way to God, I don't think he would have left Psalm 88 in the Bible because, you know, in Psalm 88, it pretty much ends without any hope. And
right. The
Heman, the writer, says, I'd rather be alone or asleep than with you, God.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think a lot about that part where David said, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. Like, where can I flee from your presence? And I used to always think it was like this really sweet thing for him going like, where can I go? And there have been times in my life, especially the last few years, where I've been like, where can I go?
Yeah.
If I go here, you're there. If I go there, you're there. You know, more like, what if and we can't know because we can't know David's tone, but what if David's tone was more like, I am so frustrated that I want to get away from you and I can't.
Yeah.
You know, but there, and there, I have days like that too, but that's the beauty of scripture to me is that it remains true even when I can't, even if I'm blowing in the wind, scripture is not.
Yeah.
And so if I tie myself to the God of the scripture, it's okay if I blow in the wind like a flag. I'm not going to blow away.
Right. Yeah. And what's going to solve all these emotions about God's kindness is the first nanosecond in heaven.
Ugh, right. I know. How many of our friends and family that have gone before us are like, if only Annie could understand.
Like, you just wait.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've had a lot of friends, and this is probably true for a lot of us, but I have a lot of friends that seem to be in an extreme amount of pain right now, and it just feels really dark all around me. And something that my pastor said is he said, we're just on the wrong side of heaven.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, yeah. This is so temporary. And that's a little bit scary and a little bit the forever thing kind of freaks me out sometimes. But it to know that there is a place without pain that is coming makes me handle and persevere in my pain better here and want to make sure I'm inviting all my people to come along with me.
Yeah, Annie, it says a lot about you, too, that there's, you know what's going on in the lives of a lot of people and friends. So in other words, they're coming to you and they can trust some of their dark thoughts and some of their pain with you. So, you know, you're aware of it all. So God bless you for being that person in so many people's lives.
Oh gosh. If we're not, my three closest friends that are still in Atlanta where I grew up, we have this saying that we are forever cleaning up messes in each other's lives that we didn't make, right? Like the best thing you can do for your friends is help them clean up messes that you weren't a part of making. And so people do that for me all the time. Jesus is our rescuer, but he allows people to walk that rescue right alongside him and walk with us in that. And I just think for as often as people have been a part of Jesus rescuing me, the idea that people invite me into some of their messes is really generous and kind, and I'm honored.
Isn't that the hands and feet of Jesus when somebody comes alongside and cleans up a mess that they didn't make?
Yeah, it feels like it in my life. It sure feels like it. Those friends of mine, you know, we've all been really close since high school for 20 years, they've been my best friends, and we have gotten messy together. We are all covered in it, but we also are real committed to being a part of the cleanup, whatever that is.
Sweet. Annie, let me take a little break. Annie F. Downs is my guest. She's written a book called Remember God, among others. We'll be back with more of Annie in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Annie F. Downs is my guest. Annie, what does the F stand for?
Oh, it's so complicated in Swiss. It's
okay.
Such a weird middle name. And so I like to tell people it's either fancy or fun, or right now around the holidays, I say fa-la-la-la-la.
Okay.
Because it's just the easiest way to remember.
All right. So why do we as Christians have a difficult time just coming to the realization that the story that God is writing for us is what it is, and we maybe don't like it, or we just struggle with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I can speak for all of our friends, but for me, it has been that I wrote a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote the different story, I really thought it matched what God had for me. Like, I really thought that I would be married with kids by now and have a minivan and a house with a lot of rooms. And, you know, I thought my life would look so different a decade ago than it does right now. Yeah. There's been tragedies that I never planned on, obviously. Yeah. And there's been gifts that I never expected. But this story has turned out so differently than the one I would have written. And I think what gets messy for us is not that the stories don't match, but the story we thought we were in, we thought God's hand was on, just like it was. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what makes it complicated, is that you think God's writing the same story you're writing, and then the story changes and you don't know what to do.
Well, or you write a script and assume that God is going to cooperate with it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't have
a lot of friends. I can't think of a lot of people who are bossy like that toward God necessarily. But I think in our hearts we go, well, here's what's going to happen next, right? And so I'll point toward that way, right, God?
Yeah.
And then God goes, you can walk that way, but what you don't know is 30 feet ahead of you, there's going to be a fork in the road, and you've got to turn right, and you're going to be disappointed because you think the story goes left and it goes right.
Mm-hmm. Do you struggle at all, Annie, with expectations you have about expectations with God?
I
go back to that great illustration that C.S. Lewis has in one of his many books, where he says, if before you enter a room, you're told it's a honeymoon suite, you open the door and you go, oh my goodness, what a dump. But before entering that same room, you're told it's a prison cell. You go, ooh, this is nice.
Yes, that's exactly right. I love that story. Part of my personality is I can dream up really big dreams, and I can see a story all the way to the end, even if we're only on chapter two. And so my expectations are that the book is going to end the way I thought it is. And this is literal for Remember God. I mean, when I write books, I write the first chapter first and the last chapter last. And I really thought I knew where that book was going, and it took a left turn midway through, and it broke my heart.
Oh, sure.
And I had to keep writing. And so, yeah, expectations for me are almost a direct line to disappointment. But also, we can't live without hope and expectation.
Totally.
And so I'm learning. I mean, I feel like I'm in the middle of learning how to balance that well.
Yeah. What happens when we forget about God?
Yeah, I think the problem is that we forget what he's really like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone in our faith family or any of our friends would say that they forget him altogether, but we just forget what his personality is really like, and we forget what his character is really like. And when that happens, we just get off course, Bill. I mean, at least I do. When I start not being able to remember who God really is when my heart gets the most broken, when I feel the most off center. And when I feel like I have the wrong glasses on to view the world, and but it keeps being true that God resets me, that he's the one who rescues, that he's the one who goes, hey, I want to remind you who I really am.
Mm-hmm. When I think of the way God has designed me, when I drift away from his design, it's basically self-sabotage, and then I can't figure out why I'm unhappy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world, just so you know.
Me either, Bill. Listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer of any drawer that I've ever been in.
All right.
And so I know I'm the same way that so often I recognize, like, oh, the reason it's almost like God lets me sit in the pain a little bit until I'm uncomfortable enough that I go, why am I uncomfortable? Oh, because I'm off center here and I'm missing out here. And so I'm grateful for the way he handles my lack of knowing the right thing to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So when you asked the question, is God kind, did you come up with some new depths in your relationship with God when you started to answer those questions?
You know, what's interesting is that's literally what I wrote in my, like, thank yous in the back of the book, my acknowledgments. I said, all thanks really to God who invited me to this story that I would have never picked for myself.
Yeah.
I had no idea how loved I was until you, until now, and until this.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it all again for who I have found you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is true, that I, in the last 2 years, have been in more pain and disappointment than I've probably been in my life, and I would do it again. I really would. I would do it again to know God the way I know him now versus how I knew him 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's a big statement you just made, and I know it's gonna sound to some people like, oh boy, well, good for you, but look at the pain I'm in. What can you say to those folks?
Yeah, well, I would say I can't know the pain each person is in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So And so I would never assume to go, I know how you feel, because I don't know how they feel. But what I do know is that we have a God that can meet us in whatever pain you are in whatever tragedy you're in. And they can't know the depths of my pain, right? Like the loss of people that I love, the disappointment for things that I thought were going to happen in my life that didn't. And what always remains true to me is that I keep watching in my friend's life that God shows up looking exactly like they need him to look in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the things they need to hear in order for them to heal. So for someone out there who goes, well, fine, Annie's okay, but I'm not. Well, just ask him who he is and ask him what it looks like for him to heal you, and he will.
Yeah, yeah. Annie, thanks so much for doing the show. I know you've got to run, but I would love to have you back on the show. And I know you're going to be at the Set Apart Conference, which is going to be here on the University of Northwestern campus in March. Do I have that right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And Bill, when you hit those million people on the radio, I want to come back on. I mean, I'm coming anytime.
Just call. Well, I need you to give me some scripture as well. So you maybe call
the phone number.
Yeah,
done.
Just go into the voicemail and leave a scripture verse, and then that gets me closer to my million.
That's right. I'll do it. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. Annie F. Downs has been my guest. She's a author and a speaker. And her podcast is pretty funny. I listened to it, and you will enjoy it if you go check it out. Her website is AnnieFDownes.com. And her book is called Remember God. And if you are wrestling with God's kindness and wondering, is God kind in all of this, whatever your life circumstances might be a good book to pick up. And she's delightful and engaging and charming and funny. And she kind of does a whole bunch of stuff really well. So coming up next, we're going to have Rob Bluey on the show. And I usually like to dedicate, roughly 22 minutes a week to the show, talking about what's going on in the capital of Washington, D.C., where Rob lives. And there's always interesting things going on in politics. I don't care much for it. I'm concerned about the difference that politics make in the lives of the freedom of religion and the cause for Christ. I don't like all the divisiveness and the bickering. That's the part I don't really like very much. But Rob is a lover of Jesus, and he is right in the middle of it all. And so he will be coming up next on the show. And I was just reading also that 1 in 4 working Americans have 9 or more days of paid time off remaining this year still. Isn't that kind of crazy? There was a poll of 1,000 adults, and they found that many Americans just give up their hard-earned vacation days. They just go to waste. And average, most employees use about half of their vacation time. I know that God wants us to work hard and then rest and do life well and try to be as balanced as you can. But whatever you do, you always want to listen to Faith Radio. See how I snuck that in? That was kind of sneaky, wasn't it? All right, Rob Bluey is going to be next, and then we're going to have a great conversation in the second hour with Oz Hillman, and then Lars Dunberg. He's got a great story. You're going to love the whole rest of the show. So take a short break. Be back with Rob Bluey in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Here's a little free advice on a Tuesday. If you're not a morning person, just sleep till noon. That way you'll miss the whole thing. That's a little piece of free advice. All right. Rob Bluey is on our studio line. He's the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal and the multimedia news organization of the Heritage Foundation, a weekly guest. Hello, Rob.
Hello. It's good to be with you, Bill.
Thank you so much. You know, let's start with the whole idea of fake news, and how do we tell if the news is reliable?
Well, that is a good question. It's one of the reasons that we take so seriously the work that we do at the Daily Signal.
I know you do. I know.
And there's a new organization that exists called NewsGuard, which is helping people like your listeners and our subscribers to figure out who's reliable and who's not. And basically what they've done is they've taken 9 different types of criteria, everything from transparency, whether the organization is transparent about where it gets its funding, to a corrections policy, to, you know, various things about what standards and practices they have to operate. And, Bill, I'll tell you, it's one of those things where I've seen a lot of attempts being made to help people understand and navigate social media and where they're getting their news. This seems to be one of the best, and I think it's because it's run by a couple of veteran journalists who've been in the business, Gordon Krovitz, who's a former publisher of the Wall Street Journal, and Steve Brill, who founded Court TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very pleased to say that the Daily Signal has a perfect score, 9 out of 9, so it's another reason why I'm proudly endorsing it. But Bill, I'll tell you, it's a challenge on a daily basis, and you've seen it so very much up close this week with Facebook and the scrutiny that they continue to come under and the fact that they are having a hard time controlling this problem.
Mm-hmm. And is part of it just with online that there's a race to be the first online with the story, regardless if you've got the facts all buttoned up?
Yes, I do think that speed has a lot to do with it because, let's face it, Google, Facebook, Twitter, they all reward people when they are first and they're fast. Now,
mm-hmm.
the problem with that is that you don't always know all of the facts and the details. And so you can sometimes, you know, have a first impression that is not always accurate and correct. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I'm glad we're not necessarily in the breaking news business at the Daily Signal. We have the time to analyze and evaluate policy issues, but people are. And, Bill, I think the other thing that's changed is, you know, 10 years ago or more, most people got their news through cable television, either the nightly news or the local news. They had a newspaper delivered on their doorstep every morning, and that's changed. Media consumption habits have changed quite a bit. People are now getting their news from social media, and Facebook played a big part in this, and they're now trying to adjust because there are some people who are bad actors
mm-hmm.
and are doing things irresponsibly.
I think it's reshaped some people's personalities because now they've got a computer in their hand called their smartphone, and they can be in touch with outrage 24 hours a day.
They can, and they can also basically build a filter around who they get their news and information from. So social media, yes. Well, in many cases, it can connect you to friends and family and people who are all over the world. Sometimes that filter bubble allows you to basically consume the type of news that you want. The algorithms are built in a way where you're not necessarily getting everything that would fit on the pages of a newspaper. You're only seeing stories that necessarily are the ones that you tend to click on. And I think that that's a challenge in this day and age to make sure that we're getting a well-balanced diet. And that's why, as NewsGuard calls it, these are nutrition labels because they want to make sure that consumers of news do have a perspective that isn't just necessarily limited to a single source.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I would think that the email scandal that Hillary Clinton had would forever have solved anyone else having a similar situation. But now I've been reading that Ivanka Trump has some personal email problems.
Bill, this is one of those things that, you know, whether it's Ivanka Trump, whether it's Lisa Jackson, who was President Obama's EPA administrator, I mean, you go down the line of people who work in government who tend to use personal email, it just is a head-scratcher. I mean, the rules are very clear on this, and particularly in light of the Hillary Clinton scandal and how much turmoil she and her campaign went through in 2016, I frankly don't understand how if you're in government and you're in a position that's going, you know, is going to come under scrutiny, this is just not something that's allowed. There are reasons for doing this. The public has a right to know under Freedom of Information Act laws what decisions are being made and how those decisions are being made. And so some of those emails are discoverable under, you know, these FOIA requests. And I think that that's generally a good thing. Sometimes that can be abused, but for the most part, we want to know, you know, if you're a liberal and you want to know how conservatives are making policy or vice versa, you know, there is a reason that we have the laws on the books this way.
Mm-hmm. Rob, let's talk about the caravan situation. I did see that there were, according to Homeland Security, approximately 500 criminals traveling in the caravan, but they're doing it in a crafty way, so they put the women and children up front for sympathy, but they're in that group.
Yes, you are correct. I mean, they are, a lot of them are in Tijuana, Mexico, because we know that the process of entering the United States is not not one in which you can just cross over the border and be processed immediately. It takes quite a bit of time. There is a large number. This is one of the challenges that's coming in contact with the caravan, because we have had a situation in the past where, yes, illegal immigrants may sneak across the border and enter the United States. They may be apprehended. They'll go through the legal process. But what you have now are 4,000 or 7,000 people entering one after another, and it's creating a backlog and some challenges. As we talked about in the past, Bill, we had a reporter, Nolan Peterson, from the Daily Signal in Mexico to speak to some of the people who are part of that caravan, and many of them were warned in advance that they would encounter some challenges in the United States when they reached the United States, and they didn't care. They said, we're going regardless. We know that we can get a better life in the United States, and I think that it's created a situation in Tijuana that is quite unpleasant for many people.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we look to this lame duck Congress and then the new Congress in 2019, what do you think they're going to try to do to fix immigration enforcement?
Well, the first thing that they'll have to do is decide whether or not they're going to put any money for border security into the funding bill. There are seven appropriations bills that need to be funding, 7 out of 12, so, mm-hmm. so the majority of appropriations bills still have to be decided. Now, some of the big ones, like the military and health care, have already been taken care of. But one that needs some resolution is the Homeland Security, and that is a big question that Congress is going to face here in the next few weeks after Thanksgiving, because President Trump, as we all know from the time he campaigned, has said he wants a border wall, and he wants it funded. Congress has been so far unwilling to do that, and I don't know that the Democrats, who are newly emboldened because they made gains in the House, are going to have any more, they're not going to, President Trump has in fact lost some leverage probably with the Democrats in light of the election results. So, mm-hmm. Bill, I don't know. I do know that something has to be done. Congress needs to clarify what it is on both asylum, on border security, on some of the DACA recipients. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and it's time for lawmakers to get to work.
Yeah, Rob, are we getting any bipartisan agreement on the criminal justice reform bill?
But, you know, it's one of those things that this is a bill that clearly has enough votes to pass the House and the Senate. President Trump last week endorsed it. So you have all of the parties coming together, and yet it still seems that there are going to be some hurdles to getting this done. Mitch McConnell, who's the leader of the Senate Republicans, has said that he doesn't want to bring a bill to the floor that's going to divide his caucus. And frankly, there are some Republicans who don't like the contents of this criminal justice reform bill. And that's certainly not the view of the president, not the view of Mike Lee or Rand Paul, two very conservative Republicans. And I don't know, Bill, it's one of those things where if it doesn't happen in the lame duck, do we get so overwhelmed with other issues at the beginning of the year, or will this be a priority? So I think that's why you've seen so much pressure in the past week on Mitch McConnell to bring this bill up here in the next few weeks and to get it done before the year is out.
Mm-hmm. There isn't anyone that doesn't want a safer neighborhood, too. So it seems like this bill would have a lot of support.
It does. And, you know, look, I think that one thing that I've been really encouraged by, and I think this goes to a lot of your listeners and people who have Christian values and beliefs, giving people a second chance at life is what this bill is intended to do. It's called the First Step Act. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have some of the most liberal Democrats in Congress working with some of the most conservative Republicans. And, Bill, you know how rare that is today, and your listeners know how rare that is. So for this to take a next step and have the president's endorsement certainly seemed like it was a move in the right direction. But the outcome still remains uncertain.
Mm-hmm. Rob, how do you understand the right-leaning and left-leaning views of the caravan and the immigration issue? I know it's kind of a broad brush question, but maybe you could tackle it.
Sure. Well, I think that this is one when you actually talk to some of the people who are part of the caravan, your views might change too. So I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, but certainly those on the left, I think, generally want to welcome illegal immigrants into the country, not necessarily because they support anybody who's breaking the law, but they have a certain level of compassion and want to give them the opportunity to have a better life in the United States. If you're on the right or you're a conservative, you want people to follow the rule of law. You believe that there is a process in which people can immigrate to the United States, and there's quite a long line of people who are waiting, and anyone who tries to circumvent that line or get ahead of it really is not operating in a fair manner. And so I think that it's one of those things where it's a divisive issue. It's hard to solve and figure out. I think that the caravan presents new challenges because this is not the only caravan. There are, you know, at least three or four more following it from Honduras and Guatemala. So you're going to have a situation where people are potentially exposing themselves to assaults and criminal activity as they make their way through Mexico. And that's why I think you've seen some churches and some other nonprofit organizations step up to try to put these people in vehicles and get them safely from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm. It's been hard to watch the wildfires in California. It's just sad to see such devastation. And as I'm looking through all those stories, I'm just the whole thing makes me very sad. And there's so many displaced people, and there's, you know, people, animals, everything. It's all very sad.
It is very sad, and I think the reason that it's even sadder is because this, unlike a hurricane or something where we have no control over, there are some things that we can do to control this. I mean, first of all, we just need to be more responsible to make sure that little brush fires don't engulf entire communities,
right,
like we've seen in this case. And so I think just being better stewards of the environment, making sure that if we're not acting irresponsibly and potentially triggering a massive event like this. But also, as you've heard the president say, there's a component of this that comes down to forest management. And could we better manage our forests in a way where we're creating conditions on the ground that make these fires less easily spread from one place to another?
Mm-hmm. Rob Bluey is my guest. We'll take a little break when we come back more with Rob Bluey, the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. Be back in just a minute.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Rob Bluey is my guest. He's editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal, which is a multimedia news organization of the Heritage Foundation. And Rob, I was just thinking about this fire in California, and you know, you're suggesting that the government and President Trump is saying we need to do forest management better. I was hearing Governor Jerry Brown talk about it, and he managed to also squeeze in that climate change is being ignored. I mean, there's never not an opportunity for the left to bring that up, is it?
Well, right. I mean, whether it's a hurricane or a fire, I mean, it seems like it's always the next thing. There's always something associated with climate change that is a cause or a contributor to in the minds of the left, and I think that's come to be expected. And I think that any time you try to politicize or introduce an issue like that into the equation, you know, it just makes it all the more difficult to try to get to some solution. I think in the case of the fires, I mean, I will say on the one hand, it was nice to see in a state like California, where you have so many people who are of a liberal point of view or Democrats in office, working with the Trump administration to try to help people. You know, we just had a team visit South Carolina, which of course is recovering from the hurricane, and the great work of an organization like Samaritan's Purse, which receives no government funding and is there doing the type of volunteer work and helping out people in that community who have no other people, frankly, that they can turn to get their lives turned around. So we can only hope that the people in California have those same types of charities and other resources coming their way, which in many cases, Bill, are inspired by people of religion and faith who feel it is their calling to help. And I really, on this week of Thanksgiving, give them praise and thanks for the good work that they're doing.
Totally. Rob, this is a personal question, but how do you frame your views of climate change when you're in the discussion with people in business?
Well, I and this is consistent with, I think, an approach of other conservatives as well, not just me personally, but I do believe that man has contributed, humans have contributed to our changing climate. I also believe, looking if you go back millennia and look at the data, our climate has been changing for millions of years. And we happen to be in that period where, yes, we are warming, but I think that you've heard that the terminology change, right, too? I mean, we talked about global warming for a long time, and now it's changed to climate change because, frankly, it depends on the day of the week. In some cases, it's more extreme weather that they're attributing to climate change or higher than normal or lower than normal temperatures. So Bill, to answer your question, I do believe that there are contributing factors that humans have made. At the same time, I think we have to look at this in a larger context and not just be so isolated to the period of time we're here on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Rob, would you talk about the suicide attack that killed a whole bunch of people in Afghanistan? I think the number was around 43 that I heard.
Right. It's and injured about 83 others.
Yeah.
Just another reminder for Americans that this continues to be a long war in Afghanistan. I mean, you're talking about 17 years now where our country has been engaged in this conflict. And I believe most of the people targeted in this bombing in Kabul were, a group of Islamic scholars. So I don't believe there were any American casualties. But frankly, it's still a loss of life, and our prayers go out to those people who are suffering and found themselves in this terrible situation. But Bill, I think that I also saw today that President Trump is considering his first presidential visit to a combat zone that could be Afghanistan or Iraq. We've seen past presidents make the trip, particularly over the holidays, at a time to bolster the spirits of our soldiers, and we just should keep them in our prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not hear that, but they probably keep that under wraps, don't they?
They do, and I'm not sure that the White House probably wanted that story out there. But at the same time, a lot of these visits in the past have come as surprise visits. I mean, I think that George W. Bush or Dick Cheney made a Thanksgiving Day visit that was a complete surprise to many. So it's not unusual for this to happen. It is. It would be the first time, though, that President Trump is making this visit. And remember, Trump was critical of some of these entanglements and wars that we've engaged in during his campaign. And so I think it's a point that he probably is still, in some cases, struggling with himself.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I don't always understand all the moving parts of an economy, but when I see help wanted signs everywhere, and I see businesses seem to be booming, and now the stock market's like going down rapidly. Can you hold that conflict in your head that stock market's going down, business economy seems to be up? Do you know how to connect those dots?
I'm not an economist myself, but I work with some very smart people at the Heritage Foundation who are. And look, I think you can have both. Yes, sometimes the stock market needs to make a correction. And for those of us who have, 401ks or 403bs, it's concerning to see the dollar amount go up and down. But, that's why it's important to be in it for the long haul and save because you can't on a day-to-day basis, unless you're in that New York Stock Exchange, really be sweating it, on a day-to-day basis. At the same time, the Wall Street Journal, I believe, had a story this week where people who are looking for jobs are finding some quite unusual circumstances, Bill. They're not even having to go for an in-person interview. In fact, sometimes just a 20-minute phone call will result in a job offer for people. So you're absolutely correct that we're seeing a booming economy where many employers can't hire fast enough. There are a lot of job openings out there, and it's a great time to be looking for work because you have a ton of options, and I think it's put employees in a very lucrative position.
Mm-hmm. Now, after the midterm election, it was nice to feel a small, short reprieve, but it didn't last long. There's already Democratic contenders eyeing staff in Iowa. So it's well underway, isn't it?
It certainly is. 2020 started, the presidential campaign for 2020 started the day after the midterms. You saw that. People like Congressman Eric Swalwell from California declared. I imagine that many of your listeners probably are asking who, but yes, there are some people out there who have already thrown their hat in the ring. We'll see some of the bigger name contenders probably wait until the beginning of the year. In fact, I heard that Mike Bloomberg, the former New York mayor, said that, you know, you need to pretty much make up your mind by the beginning part of next year, given the amount of fundraising that's mm-hmm. needed and the grassroots contacts that you need to start making.
Yeah. Has there been problems? I know there's problems in both parties, but are the Democrats now, are they starting to see what like Alexandria Cortez is doing and saying we need more progressives like her? And is that causing friction in the Democratic Party?
Well, it's always easier to be in the minority because when you're in a position of leadership like Nancy Pelosi is, yes, you encounter those challenges. And remember, we talked about the Freedom Caucus
right.
that Republican leaders had to navigate. Now there are 16 Democrats, more centrist Democrats, who have said that under no terms that will they vote for Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker. That would be enough to deny her that position. She has a potential challenger in Marsha Fudge, a Democrat from Ohio. And yes, you're absolutely correct. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on her first day in Washington, staged a protest in Nancy Pelosi's office. So, Bill, it's going to be for some interesting times. Democrats are going to have the same types of leadership challenges that we've seen Republicans have over the last few years.
Yeah. Now, I saw that the Macy's Day Parade might be in jeopardy because the weather is going to be almost 25 degrees below average. So, you know, we talk about the climate change, and definitely there is a chill in the air. And it sounds like there's the possibility that could be the direction the climate is moving, a season and a period of colder weather, which for a guy who lives in Minnesota is not very good news.
That's right. Well, it's going to be frigid here in the low 30s in Washington, D.C. on Thanksgiving Day. And we'll see how that all shakes out, Bill. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's been a wet year here, and that's contributed to some, you know, some challenges in a number of areas. But I will have to say, you know, I hope that we can carry on our traditions. I know our family is looking forward to getting together with some people that we haven't seen in a while for Thanksgiving dinner. And I hope that, you know, all of your listeners and so many Americans can use the time to celebrate those traditions that we really hold so dear here in the
yeah.
country.
Are you packing up the Blueys and taking them somewhere, or you have folks coming to your house?
Not too far. We're just going down I-95 in Virginia to my in-laws' house, and we'll spend the time with them this year, and it should be fun.
And how many will be at the Thanksgiving table? What's the count?
We'll probably have about a dozen or
that's,
so.
That's a nice size.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said that she has 61 cousins and they have a Thanksgiving dinner of about 85 people. So not quite that, but
you got to hire security.
You know, kudos to that family.
Yeah, you got to hire security and get one of those, you know, porta potties out front for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Rob, always appreciate you, especially this time of the year, because Thanksgiving is where you pause and say thank you and show appreciation and gratitude. And let me just say how much I appreciate your consistent coming on the show. It makes a big difference. And our listeners love you.
Well, thank you, Bill. And it's great. I'm grateful for you and appreciate the good work of Faith Radio that you do. And thanks for having me on the show every week.
Yeah, well, I will look forward to our conversation next week. Thanks again. Rob Blueys been my guest, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. Go to dailysignal.com to check that out. We will take a very short break. And then coming up in hour two, Oz Hillman will be with me. And then Lars Dunberg, and Lars is just a blast. We're going to have a great second hour as well. If you missed any of this hour, you can go over to myfaithradio.com and check it out. Annie F. Downs was my first guest, and then Rob Blueys. So if you missed any of it, you're going to want to check it out. We'll be back in just a minute with hour two. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.